All right, little old school. I like it. Give me a do. I remember that commercial. You guys don't, because you weren't even born yet. Here's the deal. Give me a do, but I want more than that. Give me men and women, Hopeway Men's Night Out, Women's Night Out, next week. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. Okay. All right. Sign up online. That's bad. Lauren's looking much better than I am. Sign up online, grow.hope.edu. The lines are open. Make sure to come on out. A couple other announcements. Tomorrow, for freshmen only, the series, Saturday series that Trigg Johnson is doing at the Keppel House for how you can grow in your faith during your college years. 9 o'clock, fresh bagels, good coffee. Not crappy coffee, good coffee. Also, 10 o'clock tomorrow, Delight has their first event for women. Woo! Pancakes tomorrow, you can be there. I'm done with announcements. All right. I have a little historical trivia for us today, all right? Topic, manure. Got it, all right? Topic is manure. Now, little historical trivia. Back in the 16th and 17th centuries, most everything at that time was transported by ship. And it was also before the invention of commercial fertilizers, which means large shipments of manure were quite common in the 16th and 17th century. Hang with me here. I'm going somewhere. Therefore, manure was shipped dry because in dry form, it weighed a lot less. However, once you put on a ship and if the seawater hit the manure, it not only got heavier, but the process of fermentation began again, in which the byproduct is methane gas. As manure was stored below the deck in ships and bundles, you can see what happened and would happen when the water started to get on it. Methane gas would begin to build up below the deck of the ship, and the first time somebody went down there with a lantern, kaboomy, kaboomy. And several ships were lost and destroyed in this manner before they determined just what was happening. After that, bundles of manure were always stamped with the term ship high in transit on them, which meant for sailors to stow the manure high enough off the lower decks so that any water that got in the hull of the ship would not touch the volatile cargo and start the production of methane. Thus evolved the term shit. S period, H period, I period, T. Ship high in transit. Which has come down through the centuries and is still used today. Historical fact, pretty interesting, right? Okay. For most of us, however, shit would be considered a swear word, along with a lot of other words and phrases that I'm not going to say publicly in chapel this morning. Jesus, here's the transition. No, I wasn't going there. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, addresses swearing, but swearing in a very different manner than vulgar and profane language. Listen to the voice of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said this, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times that you shall not swear falsely, but you shall carry out your vows that you have made to the Lord. Therefore, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of God, or by Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Therefore, let your word be either yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
For the past few chapels, we have been listening to Jesus as he has been describing what his disciples look like. We've heard that his disciples are to be people of reconciliation. That is, people are supposed to be people of sexual consistency, people who are covenant keepers. And in our text this morning, Jesus continues to expand the vision of what his disciples should look like even wider. And it can be summed up in one word: integrity. Jesus is saying that his disciples are to be people of integrity. And in our text this morning, Jesus is making it clear that our words matter, for they have the potential to create life and to give life, as well as the potential to tear down and to destroy. And when our words don't match our actions, relationships, communities, they are fractured and they are compromised. But when our words and our actions, when they are the same, relationships and communities can flourish and experience wholeness. And the very origin of the word integrity affirms this. Let me show you what I mean. Our English word for integrity comes from the Latin word integer. Does that word sound familiar? Any of you math majors? Integer is a math term for a whole number as opposed to a fraction, which is to say that a person without integrity is considered fractured, and a person with integrity is considered whole. Does that make sense? Are you with me? I saw somebody get it right there. Meaning a person of integrity is a person whose words and the actions are the same. Their public life is the same as their private life. They are not fractured people. They are not one person when they're with this set of people, and they're not a totally different person when they're with another group of people. I believe that college years can really test a person's integrity, because all of us long to be loved, valued, accepted, and noticed. And with that in mind, each of us is much more tempted, especially during our college years, and susceptible to compromise or embellish or even flat-out lie about ourselves or do things contrary to our beliefs in order to be accepted and noticed by others, right? And Jesus is saying to us this morning, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Meaning, don't be a yes to this purpose or situation and be no here. Or to be no to this situation and be yes in a very another situation. That is a fractured life. And on top of that, Jesus says that when we engage in this kind of inconsistency, this kind of self-deception, we reflect more the nature of the devil, who is the father of lies, than we do as a disciple of Jesus. Ouch. To be a person of integrity takes a great deal of courage, because it usually will cost you. It's interesting, in verse 33 of our text today, Jesus says, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out your vows you have made to the Lord. Now, the Greek word there in this text for carry out literally means to pay, meaning that there is a cost. There is a price to pay for being a person of integrity. Oh, how true that is. I've seen it in my own life, but I've also seen it true in the lives of students like you on campus. For example, the student who pays the price of not receiving the approval of her teammates because she's unwilling to drink at a team party. Or the student who pays the price of being harassed for not engaging in inappropriate behavior of his roommates. Or the student who pays the price of being singled out for standing up to racist remarks or jokes that her friends are conveying towards another student. Or the student who pays the price of a potential relationship because he is unwilling to compromise certain physical boundaries he has set. Bottom line, it is hard to live a life of integrity because at different points in our lives, it will cost us. It may cost us a relationship. It may cost us a friendship. It may cost us a raise in salary or a promotion someday. It may cost us our job. It may cost us an election. It may cost us a partnership. It may cost, for some of you, acceptance into a particular graduate school. And it may even cost you and me our reputation. And no one knows that better than Jesus himself, the one who paid the ultimate price on the cross so that you and I could be made whole. Do you know this Jesus? Who was broken and fractured so that we could be made right with God and each other. One of the greatest privileges I have of being a chaplain here at Hope College is periodically I get to offer the words of the institution during communion at the gathering, where I'll come over to the table and I'll take a loaf of bread and I'll say, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was with his disciples and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that has been broken for you. Remember this every time that you take of it." Jesus was broken. Jesus was fractured to enable you and me to live lives of wholeness, lives of integrity. That means just not on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, tonight, and Saturday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.